الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها. When the earth is shaken with its final earthquake. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth discharges its burdens. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And man says, what is wrong with it? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That day it will report its news. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because your Lord has inspired it. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That day the people will be depart and separated to be shown of their deeds. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. This surah is known as Surah Al-Zilzal. Many of the Mufassirin rahmatullahi alayhi, they believe that this surah was revealed after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwarah. When we look at the surahs in Quran al-Kareem, the 114 surahs, we will see in the beginning of each and every single surah, either it will say Makkiyah or either it will say Madaniyah. And what does it mean? It means that those surahs which were revealed before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, the time that he spent in Mecca, those surahs which were revealed during that time, they were considered to be Makkiyah. And those surahs which were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, at that time, when he got to Madinatul Munawwara or during his journey, those surahs were known as Madaniyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith of Tirmidhi, that whoever recites Surah Zilzal, man qara'a Zilzal, whoever recites this surah, Surah Zilzal, he gets the reward of reciting half of Qur'an. Nisf al-Qur'an. Just like about Surah Ikhlas, it is well known, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. In another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who recites Surah Ikhlas three times, he has recited the whole entire Qur'an. So basically, for reciting Surah Ikhlas once, you are reciting one third of Qur'an. For reciting Surah Zilzal, once you're getting half of Qur'an. To recite it twice, you'll get the reward of reciting the whole Qur'an al-Kareem. So, the reward of reciting Qur'an al-Kareem or reciting these surahs are there. However, one question obviously does come to mind, that person who recites Surah Zilzal, just say twice, and that person who spends all of that time reciting the whole entire Qur'an from the beginning up to Surah Nas, are they equal? Then obviously then no one recite Qur'an, Surah Zilzal twice, mashallah, I'm done. Surah Ikhlas three times, alhamdulillah, recited Qur'an. Keep one thing in mind, as far as the reward is concerned, that is there. The reward of reciting Surah Zilzal, Surah Ikhlas, Ayatul Kursi, you know, you find different ayahs of Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about the reward of these surahs and these ayahs. However, there is one thing or two things to keep in mind. Number one, that for each and every single ayah of Qur'an al-Kareem, it has a special effect. Now for a person who recites Surah Zilzal twice, as far as the reward is concerned, he will get it. But he's not getting the effect of each and every single ayah of Qur'an al-Kareem. Just like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about Ayatul Kursi, Surah Rahman, Surah Yasin, that these surahs are such that by itself, just by reciting it, has an effect on a person. So that effect is gone. That effect that person won't get. Then secondly, the barakah, the blessings of reciting those surahs itself, that is not there. Then thirdly, the time that person is putting in order to recite the whole entire Qur'an. So now just say a person, he recites Surah Zilzal twice, 5 minutes it took him, he got the reward of reciting the whole Qur'an, but he only spent 5 minutes. On the other hand, this other person, he spent 15 days, and every day he would take out 2 hours. So now he's getting a reward for 2 hours continuously for reciting Qur'an al-Kareem. So, looking at all these aspects, as far as the reward is concerned, yes, that is there, but the effect and the barakah and the blessing and the time that this person is putting in reciting the whole entire Qur'an, obviously there is no comparison. As we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever recites one letter of Qur'an, and I'm sure we heard of this hadith many times, مَنْ قَرْأَ حَرْفًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنًا. That whoever recites one letter of Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one letter is multiplied by 10 times. Then he explains, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف. I don't say ألف لام ميم is one letter. In fact, they're all 3 different letters. So just for reciting ألف لام ميم, you're getting 30 rewards because that's 3 letters. However, I mentioned this before as well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward muhaddithin rahmatullahi alayhi, who went, you know, with so much detail as far as Qur'an and hadith was concerned. They say, that's fine. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. But if we look even closer to this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person who recites one letter of Qur'an, he gets 30 rewards. If we just look at alif by itself, that also has 3 letters. Just to say alif, that also consists of 3 letters. Alif, lam, and fa. And lam consists of 3 letters. And meem also consists of 3 letters. Meem, ya, and meem. See how deep these muhaddithin rahmatullahi alayhi went in order for us to get this knowledge and to understand, or else many of us would not even go that far. We feel, okay, alif, lam, meem, 30 words, we're happy. Alif, lam, meem, according to some muhaddithin rahmatullahi alayhi, they say, just for saying alif, lam, meem, you're getting 90 rewards. So all of that reward for reciting each and every single letter, obviously you cannot compare that person who is reciting each and every single letter of Qur'an compared to that person who is reciting Surah Zilzal twice or Surah Ikhlas 3 times. That does not necessarily mean that we shouldn't do this. We should do this as well. Recite Surah Ikhlas with the intention of getting the reward, or reciting Surah Zilzal in order to get this reward, inshallah, that is there. But at the same time, we should still continue reciting our normal Qur'an that we should do on a daily basis, half juz, one juz, whatever it is. Surah Zilzal, Zanzala yuzanzilo, in the Arabic language means to shake something. And over here it's referred to that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the earth shake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the earth shake. Refer to earthquakes. So the earthquakes that we see in the world and that happens, these are known as to be zilzal. This word zilzal means basically earthquakes. Means to shake something. And the basic message of this surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us what the reality of this world really is. And how long this world is going to last for, and what is the actual reality of this world. And compare it to hereafter and akhirah, obviously there is no comparison. Just like a person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for us to understand the reality of this world, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these surahs, especially in these last few surahs of Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously reminding us of qiyamah. Reminding us of the Day of Judgment, reminding us of Hisab, reminding us of death, reminding us of Qabr, reminding us of the fact that we have to stand in front of Allah and you will be questioned for everything that we do. SubhanAllah, when you look in Qur'an al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just made this book a miraculous book in such a manner that the last from Surah Naba, from the last juz, the 30th juz onwards, the main message in this whole juz, if you could put it in a nutshell, is Akhirah. The whole juz is talking about Akhirah. You look in Surah Naba and the Nazi'at and then Abasa. All of these surahs, they all talk about Akhirah. All of these surahs. And again, the reminder is that just like how Quran al-Kareem, in the last part of Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Akhirah. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He destroys this world, He's also reminding us that look, before this world comes to an end, then there are certain signs. Look for these signs. When you see these signs, then you know the Akhirah is coming. You know the day of Qiyamah is coming. You know the day of Hisab is coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُنْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth is shaken with its final earthquake. What is this earthquake referred to? And which earthquake is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that amongst the major 10 signs of Qiyamah, as we're going to go through some of the signs of Qiyamah today, one of the major signs of Qiyamah, out of the 10 major signs, one major sign of Qiyamah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring an earthquake in Madinatul Munawwarah. There will be a huge earthquake in Madinatul Munawwarah before the appearance of Dajjal. We know that, we learn from the hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us, Dajjal will have control over the whole entire world, but he won't be able to enter into the cities of Mecca and Medina. Those two cities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make some angels and they will be guarding the cities of Medina and Mecca. And he will try to enter into Medina and Mecca, but he will keep on trying, but the angels will guard Mecca and Medina and they won't let him enter. But before the entrance of Dajjal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there will be a lot of munafiqeen in Medina. There will be a lot of hypocrites who will be living in Madinatul Munawwara. And people will feel their iman won't be that strong. Their iman will be very weak. But people would feel, just because we live in Medina, we feel that, okay, they would feel that their iman is intact, and they would feel that they are righteous and good believers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when this earthquake will take place, those people whose iman was not that strong, they would leave Medina. They would get frightened, they would get scared, and they'll leave Madinatul Munawwara. And after, when they will leave Medina, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the appearance of Dajjal. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to protect Madinatul Munawwara from all these hypocrites. So when all of these hypocrites and munafiqeen will leave Madinatul Munawwara, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring Dajjal. And those believers at that time who went through that earthquake and still had patience and still had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be protected from the fitnas of Dajjal. However, this zilzal, that is not referred to this zilzal. This earthquake is referred to that when people will be resurrected again, after they would die. And after dying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take everyone out from their graves. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have an earthquake. And we learn this from another ayah of Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. What is this zanzala which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about at that time? يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَدَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that this zanzala, this earthquake, is referred to on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be people. You will look at them and you would think that these people are in the state of intoxicants. But they won't be in the state of intoxicants. then you would see those children, young children, who would be at their tender age, and they would become old, and they would start getting white hair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that those women who would be expecting, they will let go of their burden on that day, and because of that earthquake. So this earthquake is referred to on the day of Qiyamah, when people would be resurrected from their graves and before Hisab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُنْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِنْزَالَهَا. When the earthquake is shaken with this earthquake, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth discharges its burdens. I don't know if many of you remember, but in 1998, there was a minor earthquake in Madinatul Munawwarah. In 1998, there was a minor earthquake in Madinatul Munawwarah, and at that time, those people who were there, they were frightened, thinking that this might be that earthquake which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. However, it was a minor earthquake, and alhamdulillah, nothing major happened, and obviously, it wasn't that major earthquake which it comes in the hadith. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَأَثْقَالَهَا. أَخْرَجَ means to take out, to bring out. خَرَجَ means to come out, and أَخْرَجَ means to take out something. أَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ. أَرْض. أَرْض means earth. And many people, they say that they have taken the word earth from أَرْض, because it sounds very similar. أَرْض and earth. So, just like how, you know, we see in numbers that we know as a fact, the ones who invented mathematics was Arabs. And you'll see a lot of similarities as far as numbers are concerned in the Arabic language and also in the English. Just like we have Hawaii, the place Hawaii. A lot of people, they have mentioned, if you look in the history of Hawaii, you'll see that many historians say that Hawaii was discovered by Arabs. That is why it's called Hawaii. Why? Because Al-Hawa means to be wind, means wind. And there's a lot of wind. So they have called it Hawaii. I'm not sure if you know about this. And then there's a place in Hawaii called Honolulu. Honolulu. What is it? In Arabic, it's Hina Lu'lu. This is where the gems and pearls are. So they have taken Hina Lu'lu, which is in Arabic, and they have said Honolulu. So there are a lot of similarities from words from the previous, from the Arabic language and the English language, but many a times, you know, people, they don't bring that out. And if we look in our history, we will see that our history is extremely rich as far as so many things is concerned. At that time, in England, when the first coffee shop was discovered, was so many centuries before that. So many centuries before that, it was discovered by a Muslim. And that is why we know as a fact that it's known as Arabica coffee. Why? Because it was discovered by an Arab. It was discovered by a Muslim. By a Muslim by the name of Khalid. He was grazing his goats in a place called in Ethiopia when he saw these beans of coffee. That's when he realized, okay, there's something coffee. And that's when he introduced coffee into this world. But so many centuries later, it came into England and these European countries. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. أَخْرَجَ يُخْرِجُ means to come out. أَرْض means earth. أَثْقَالَهَا. أَثْقَال comes from the root word ثَقِيل. And ثَقِيل means something which is heavy, something which is of a burden. So what is the meaning? وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and the earth discharges its burdens. Referring to, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and this hadith is in Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reciting this ayah of Quran, he says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the earth to take out everything that was inside it. All of the gold and silver and all the mines and everything which was inside the earth, which people spend, which we spend millions of dollars of getting these things out from the earth and digging them out. And yet we feel that we have dug out so much, but there is still so much within the earth. So whatever would be remaining, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the earth to take all of that out. And when all of that would be out on the day of Qiyamah, all piles and piles of gold and silver will be there on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on that day, when all of that gold would be there, a thief would come and would look at all of this gold and silver, and he would feel so sorrow and he would be in such grief, and he would say to himself, was it because of this my hands got cut off? Because of this my hands got cut off, because I stole this gold and silver, because of this my hands were cut off. Then a person would come, a killer who killed many people, he would come and he would see all of this gold and silver, and again he would be in the same state, and he would say, was it because of this I killed so many people? And another person would come and he would say that, was it because of this I broke my relations with my brothers and sisters and my family members? And they would feel sorrow. And in fact, on the day of Qiyamah, when people would be in that situation, like I said, that people would be running away from here and there, not recognizing who their father and their mother is, when they see this gold and silver, they would get upset at it. And they would be cursing it. Just the way how we have so much value on the day of Qiyamah, they wouldn't have value of this, even just the way how we don't have value of dust and we don't have value of dirt. In this world, we look at that as just dirt. They would not even have that much value of this on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order for all of these things to come out. Again, bringing the reality of this world. Normally we feel that, you know, as one scholar he says, that, you know, the way how we treat our dollars and pounds is dollar jalla jalalu and pound amma nawalu. We have given it such a high value that, subhanallah, we may not say it. We may not say it by our tongues, but our actions, they speak. And our actions are telling us that this is what is our preference. This is what's on top of our list. This is what our priority is. Our dollar comes first, our money comes first, our job comes first, our business comes first, and then everything else comes afterwards. We may not say it by our tongues, but this is what our actions are showing. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. The thing that you're running and working so hard for, look, on the day of Qiyamah, you would be cursing at these same things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why he mentions in the hadith that ittaqu firasatul mu'min. Fear the sight of a believer. Why? Because he can see from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he sees from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that nur? That nur is that when this believer, a true believer, when dunya is presented in front of him, and these things are presented, and the glitter and glamour of dunya is presented in front of him, he says to himself that this is only temporary. There is no effect of this. I should not get affected by these things. But those people who get affected, they don't have that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on saying that what would our reaction, subhanallah, Quran is so explicit and so clear that Allah is even telling us that what our reaction will be on the day of Qiyamah when we see all these things. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And man will say, human beings will say, that what is with it? What is wrong with it? Why is there, what was wrong with us that we were going after all of these things? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That day, it will report its news. Who will report its news? The earth will report its news. After taking out all of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, then the earth will say, أَثْقَالَهَا ثَقِيلٌ. Like I said, burden. All of that which was in the ground. But also, ثَقِيلٌ also comes in the meaning of those people who are on the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out all of those people from in the ground. All of those people who are on the ground would be in the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take those people out. And then, أَخْبَارَهَا. Then this earth will give news, will inform Allah that, oh Allah, all of these people were walking on me, and these were the good people, and these were the evil people. These were the ones who did righteous deeds, and these are the ones who did evil deeds. Just the way how you mentioned last week, that these limbs that we have, they will be in our favor or against us. If we use these limbs in order to get the pleasure of Allah, in order to do the ibadah of Allah, in order to these things, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be witness for us. they will be witnessing for us. Oh Allah, with these eyes, he was looking at Quran. Oh Allah, with these ears would be speaking. Oh Allah, he used to use these ears and listening to Quran al-Kareem and doing good. Oh Allah, he used these hands and doing good and giving charity. Oh Allah, with these feet, he would come to the masjid. Our feet would speak. Similarly, if we didn't use these things properly in the right manner, they would be against us and they would be witnessing against us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in this surah, just the way how these limbs will be in our favor or against us, this earth will be also in the same manner. Either would be in our favor or against us. These places where we do sajda, these places where we sit and learn Qur'an al-Kareem, the places where we're sitting right now, inshallah, these places on the day of Qiyamah, this spot and your spot, the spot I'm sitting on and the spot you're sitting on, these spots on the day of Qiyamah, they will inshallah be witnessing for us that these same places, these same things, this same place where we're sitting right now, they will speak and say, oh Allah, he was listening to your words on this specific day. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also reminding us that, on the other hand, if you did commit any evil and any part of this earth, even on the day of Qiyamah, that part of the earth will be against you and will speak up and say, oh Allah, on that specific part, he committed this and that sin. Oh Allah, punish him because of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا And man will say, what is wrong with it? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا That day, on the day of Qiyamah, it will report all of its news. The earth will let everything out. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ That day. تُحَدِّثُ comes from the word حَدَّثَ يُحَدِّثُ حَدَّثَ يُحَدِّثُ means to speak, to have a conversation, or to narrate something. And that is where we get the word hadith. Those sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are known as hadith. أَخْبَارَهَا أَخْبَار comes from the word khabar, which means news. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا That day it will be reported its news. We just mentioned, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ يَسْطُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ That day, the people will depart, separated into categories, to be shown their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us in this ayah that on that day, يَسْطُرُ النَّاسُ صَدَرَ يَسْطُرُ And the Arabic language means to come back. The opposite of sadr in Arabic is warad. Warad yanidu means to go somewhere. And yasturun means to come back. Yawma even yasturun nas. On that day people would come back. Ashtatan liyuraw a'malahum. Ashtat means something to be something which is scattered. So on the day of Qiyamah, people will be scattered. Just like how we mentioned in the previous surah, that people will be scattered. They will be like moths, tiny moths, which will be scattered all over the place. Ashtat also comes in the meaning of scattered. لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ يَرَوْ لِيُرَوْ means to show. رَأَى يَرَوْ means to see. يَرَوْ means to be shown. لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ أَعْمَال is deeds. So on the day of Qiyamah, يَسْتُرُ النَّاسِ people would come back and their state would be that they would be scattered in different groups. أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ So they can see their own deeds, whatever they had done in this world. Muhaddithin rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufassirin rahmatullahi alayhi, they explain this. What does this mean? That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people according to their beliefs, according to those people who they loved in this world. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith that people will be resurrected with those people who they loved on the day of Qiyamah. People will be resurrected with those people who they loved in this world. In this world, if a person loved a certain celebrity, or loved stars, or loved movie stars, or actors, or these people, and this is what he had inside his heart, and this is what he was looking forward, and this is who his role or her model was, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, then on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be resurrected with those people. And if a person had this in mind, and his mode of life, and his whole aspect of life was, to amass as much as wealth as possible, forgetting about akhirah, not remembering the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not doing any of these things, and his focus was just wealth, 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 money, 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 money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, he will also be resurrected with Haman and Qarun and Fir'aun and with these people. On the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also giving glad tidings to those people who loved Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had a very close attachment with those people who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if those people were there and they had that love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, that on the day of Qiyamah, they will be resurrected with the Anbiya and Siddiqeen and Shuhada and the Salihin, with the righteous and the prophets and these people on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that يَوْمَ إِذِي يَسْتُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So basically, whatever type of life that we live in this world, that will reflect on the day of Qiyamah. Whatever type of life we choose to live in this world, if it was a life of deen, if it was a life of fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being pious people, then that will be reflected on the day of Qiyamah. This is who we'll be with on the day of Qiyamah. However, if we were to other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you'll be resurrected with those people. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it on the day of Qiyamah. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ. فَمَنْ means so those. يَعْمَلْ, who do deeds. يَعْمَلْ, عَمَلَ يُعَمِلُ means to do. عَمَلَ يَعْمِلُ means to do good, to do deeds. مِثْقَال. مِثْقَال means an atom. Or you can put it this way, the tiniest or the smallest thing that we can think of or that we know that exists in this world. The smallest particle, the smallest dust, whatever it is mithqal. Ya'mal mithqala. Mithqal basically means weight. Sorry. Dharra means that particle. Dharra means that small particle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reciting these ayahs, he mentioned why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these two ayahs of Quran. He says that there was a person before, in the previous times, that he used to give, every day he used to give some charity. And every day he would feel, give something to the poor. But he would feel that the amount he's giving is very little. The amount he's giving is very little. So many times it came to him that, you know, whatever I'm giving, it's not much. I'm just giving so little, I don't know if it's accepted in the eyes or in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom of good deed, don't think that, you know, you're giving one date or two dates or giving one handful of sadaqah is nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at the quantity. Allah looks at the quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at how sincere we are when we give. If our sincerity is there, even if it may be little, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And that person who does an atom of evil, he will be seen, that will also be shown on the day of Qiyamah. He will see the effect of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when this ayah was revealed, the second ayah, there was a person who used to commit minor sins. And when it was told to him that refrain from these sins, he would say to them that it's just minor sins. It's okay for me to commit these sins. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not committing the major sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is when this ayah was revealed, that وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom of evil, that will also be seen on the day of Qiyamah. And this is something which is extremely important for us, because many times we feel that we abstain from the major sins, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm doing my part. But these minor sins, it's okay if we do it once in a while. Keep one thing in mind. If we picture, or if we have this in mind, that, or if we feel that it's okay to do a minor sin, or we look down upon a minor sin, or we don't give any importance to it, for us not giving importance to a minor sin, that becomes a major sin. When we don't have any value for minor sins, we feel it's okay to do a minor sin, that becomes a major sin because of the way how we think. Just ask yourself, is it okay that we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little upset? Does that mean we can make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little upset? And that is why Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullahi alayhi, amongst the tabi'een, one of the greatest tabi'een, he used to mention, لَا تَنْدُرْ فِي صِغَرِ ذَنْبِكَ وَلَكِنْ انْدُرْ مَنْ عَصَيْتَ. Never look at how minute your sin is. Don't look at how small your vice is. وَلَكِنْ انْدُرْ مَنْ عَصَيْتَ. But rather look at whose orders you're violating. Whose orders are you breaking? فَإِنْ صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ رَبَّكَ. If you have looked at this sin, and if you have considered this sin to be vital and to be small and to be of no value, then you have considered your Allah to have to with no value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to abstain from all types of sin, minor, major. So if we look at this sin to be a minor sin, and if we don't give value to this sin, then we have given no value to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ رَبَّكَ وَإِن عَظَّمْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ عَظَّمْتَ رَبَّكَ. On the other hand, if you have considered that small sin to be a major sin, and you have yet done, and you feel that, you know, even though it's a minor sin, I need to abstain from it, and you give a lot of value and a lot of importance to that sin, he says, فَقَدْ عَظَّمْتَ رَبَّكَ. Then you have valued your Creator, you have valued Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Aisha, إِيَّاكِ وَمُحَقِّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Aisha, abstain from all types of sin. Aisha radiallahu anha, subhanallah, we're mentioning about her in the morning during Jum'ah, about how great of a personnel she was, then subhanallah, spending most of her time at a young age in the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then being transferred in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was known about her of giving a lot of sadaqah and a lot of charity. And she used to weep and cry, and her salah was such that, as the Sahaba Sahabiyat radiallahu anhu majma'in, they say that Aisha radiallahu anha, when she used to weep and cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she would cry like a child. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Aisha radiallahu anha, إِيَّاكِ وَمُحَقِّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Aisha, abstain from these minor sins as well. You abstain from the major ones, abstain from these sins as well. Because on the day of Qiyamah, you will be also questioned for these ones as well. And sin is something, subhanAllah, when we look at it, we don't really benefit from sin. Sin is something which just gives us temporary pleasure. Just a temporary pleasure. And once that pleasure is obtained, obtained, then after that, you know, it's back to the same thing again. We listen to one song, and we feel, you know, we have done something good. That temporary pleasure. But once we turn off the music, then that pleasure is gone. When a person sees something that he's not supposed to see, at that time he's getting that pleasure. But then as soon as it's gone, it's over. So sin only gives us temporary pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that don't go after these temporary pleasures. Go after the permanent pleasures which is in the hereafter. This place is only a test for us. Whatever we do here, whatever how much we abstain for, how much we abstain in this world from all of these sins, inshallah we see the effect of this. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that that person who safeguards his eyes, and he sees, he has the ability of seeing, and yet he puts his gazes low. He puts his gazes low when he can see that haram is there. And he lowers his gazes, and he just walks away, and he controls his nafs, he controls his desires. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the ability of having a special effect in his prayer. He will feel khushu and khudu, and he would feel the, you know, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, qurrata ayun, the coolness of his eyes was in prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that that person will get that effect in his prayer if he lowers his gaze when he has the ability of seeing. When we stay away from sin and do these things, then inshallah we will enjoy the ibadah. Right now, nowadays, we don't enjoy the ibadah. Why? Because we have committed so much sin that our ibadah is of no value. You know, if you ask yourself, why was it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to stand up in prayer? How come we can't stand up for four rak'ahs and they used to stand up all the time? The reason being is because they enjoyed what they used to do. It's not like they used to do it, you know, there was a burden. They used to enjoy it. They got that enjoyment because they used to abstain from sin. The more we abstain from sin, if we keep ourselves away, inshallah, the more inshallah we'll enjoy our ibadah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the ability of doing this ibadah. This reminds me of an incident, inshallah, we'll finish with this. There was a baker, and every day, whatever he used to bake, his pies, his cookies, whatever, he used to take them outside and he used to sell them. So one day, as he baked his goodies, whatever he baked, he took them outside. And as he was selling them, one person came to him, and he said to him, that I will buy all of these cookies and everything that you baked, but I won't eat it. You eat it. You eat it. So this baker, he thought, okay, I'll eat it, that's fine. So he started eating all of everything that he baked, his cookies and breads and whatever he ate. And after he ate everything, that person walked away. That person just walked away. Now, he didn't know why, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't call the police and say, you know, he stole because he didn't steal. He ate it. Nor could he complain to anybody. This is how exactly shaitan tricks us. This is exactly how shaitan tricks us. He makes us do these sins, feeling that, you know, it's okay, just don't worry, just do it. Later on, see what happens. Later on, shaitan will just walk away. Just the way how that person walked away, shaitan will walk away and say, look, I have nothing to do with you. Right now, he's making us do all of these sins, just do it. You know, it's okay, you're having fun, you're enjoying it. But now, on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be blaming shaitan, shaitan will say, I have nothing to do with you, sorry. And this is the reality of this dunya. And this is the reality in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shaitan, is there. But if we abstain from these sins, inshallah, we will have the effect of effect of Qur'an will come inside our hearts, effect of salah, effect of these ahadith and ayahs of Qur'an, we will inshallah have an effect of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of having this effect of Qur'an al-Kareem and give us the ability of completing our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of being the righteous servants. والله سبحانه وتعالى أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وأخذ دعوانا الحمد لله.